Coming up on podcast 1165, the first Model Ys arriving in Europe. Stick around, I'll give you the details. Also today, new Audi A6 e-tron. Plug-in hybrid Porsche 911 is coming, and Lucid Motors interview with USA Today sheds some light on what they're all about. So, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Monday, 2nd of August. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Kicking off with some news about VW, the work to move their factories over to the electric platforms they've got coming continues. This time it's the Emden plant, which is being shut down in August in order to upgrade it and to transfer that to electric powertrain construction. More than 1,000 employees and external workers will work on around 300 construction sites over the month of August to transition Emden into an EV production site, says electrive.com. The transformation is to be completed in the first half of 2022. Volume production of electric vehicles will start then. ID4 is on the menu, of course. That's going to be made in two German locations. There's also the ID4X and the ID4 Cross. They're made in China. And later on, the ID4 will also be made at the US Chattanooga site. In addition to the ID4, there's also going to be the ID Vision. And the Space Vision, that is basically an electric Passat, but don't call it a Passat. It's the sedan and the estate version of definitely not a Passat. Vision. Popping a link to Electrive in the show notes if you'd like to read more. We'll talk Audi next, the A6 e-tron. At the minute, still a concept, but it will go into production. Audi doing great jobs with taking concept cars and making them into the real deal. Just take a look at the e-tron GT. CNET by Roadshow reporting that the car will make its debut next year. A release in 2023, according to therobreport.com. The specs of this have been released in concept car form, but Audi have been pretty good at sticking to these. They're aspirations, targets, if you like. 450 miles on a single charge for the A6 e-tron. Now, look, if that car was on sale today, and it's not, it would be the world's longest range EV, but it's not on sale. It will be an 800-volt architecture, so you can add 186 miles of range in 10 minutes. That's crazy. You can't be in and out of the coffee shop in 10 minutes, and that's a 200-mile increase in your range. And go to 10 to 80% in half an hour, and this will use the new, I think it's called S... No, this is the PPE platform. Nothing to do with wearing face masks. It's premium platform electric. So this is what VW Group will use for things like the Macan, the upcoming Porsche Macan. Also, this Audi. This will be the first one on that new platform. The other, but it's going to be for the, you know, the real high performance cars coming out of the group. There is another platform which will replace the MEB platform, and that's going to be from the middle of the decade, and that's going to be like 95% of all VW Group cars built on that commonality, which reduces costs, makes them come to market very quicker. But this car will use the high performance platform. Like I say, things like the Macan's going to use it as well, but not the existing. If you're wondering, the existing Taycan and Audi e-tron GT were just too early for that new platform. They use something called the J1, I think, platform. But anyway, yep, so that won't be used going forward. Can't wait to see this Audi A6 e-tron when it leaves concept form, becomes the real deal on the road. I have every confidence that they will make an incredibly sleek Audi, which will be very high on my wish list. Porsche are next in the news, preparing to electrify the 911, the classic 911. Who would have thought would have batteries, let alone go all electric? But it's going to be a plug-in hybrid version to begin with. It's an icon, and now spy photographers have seen it testing at the Nordschleife, pounding round the Nürburgring. They've taken the 992 series platform to accommodate the plug-in powertrain. Auto Express confirmed that they will lose, they say, none of the trademark usability by going hybrid. It's a real challenge, right? Because batteries are heavy. You can't escape that. And the 911's all about that driver's car, that driver's feel, that perfect balance, that 50-50 you know, weight distribution where you can throw the car around and really, you know, enjoy it. It's what so many brand fans like about Porsche and that car in particular. So where they position the batteries, of course, they can go low down for a low center of gravity. That's great, but it's difficult, right? It'll probably have a similar performance to something like the plug-in version of the Panamera. That particular car uses a 4-litre twin-turbo V8 and an electric motor. We'll see what they put inside the Porsche 911. Massive, massive moment for that company and many fans as well who've enjoyed one over the years and might be worried about going electric. Maybe combustion is all part of the theatre of that car, but certainly being a plug-in hybrid, it's sometimes the best of both worlds and sometimes the worst of both, but I'm sure they'll do a great job. Next, Lucid's in the news. Peter Rawlinson, CEO, interviewed by USA Today, and I thought I'd have a look at some of the answers that he gave to questions. A lot of it you and I would have heard before, but he did say this: to do a truly affordable electric car, the company has to grow. It would represent a huge investment for us if my investors wanted to do that, he said. So if you're talking about a starting price of, you know, $25,000, we're 7 or 8 years away from that, realistically. 9 years on from the Tesla Model S, Tesla's still nowhere near making a $25,000 EV. I don't think we've got the company maturity and infrastructure yet, he said. He was also talking about 500 miles on the Lucid Air. He said, I believe we need to create a technological tour de force. Not many people need 500 miles of range. But it's a way of dismissing range anxiety. You can replace that with range confidence. Great products do extraordinary things. And they asked him, who are your competitors? Peter Rawlinson said, the gasoline luxury market. That's who Lucid want to take business from. And that's dominated by Mercedes, BMW, Porsche, Lexus and Jaguar to an extent. The media likes a comparison with Tesla, he said. Tesla is the undisputed leader in technology. Tesla is the benchmark against what everyone is judged, particularly for EV efficiency, powertrain prowess. I'll pop a link to USA Today in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Headline story today, and the Tesla Model Y is finally heading towards Europe. I know my US listeners listen to that and go, what? Huh? Really? It's been out here forever. Yes, I know. We've been waiting. The European market is eagerly awaiting delivery of the first Model Ys. Not from Fremont. No, they're coming from Shanghai. Made in China. In the meantime, you can see the Model Y just starting to crop up in the first few showrooms. The first one that we know about is the Amsterdam Southeast showroom and in the Netherlands. Now, on July 29th, one particular customer in the Netherlands received an email from Tesla informing them the first Model Y would appear in the showroom on July 31st. So we're a couple of days past that now. Have you seen it? Have you been in? Have you seen it? It's on display. I don't know how many Model Ys were on that ship that would have brought that particular car. Hopefully plenty more for customers as well. And sadly, no right-hand drive versions for us in the UK. I did check before I went to record. And if you go to the Model Y page of Tesla UK, it simply says, stay updated. No even option. Is that a word? Is that a sentence? There's no option even to configure a car and place deposits, even though they are making right-hand drive versions for places like Hong Kong. Come on, Tesla, pull your finger out. You're letting the UK down. They've had to settle a class action lawsuit over reducing the range of Model S's as well. Back in 2019, CNET reported on a NHTSA investigation with some customers in their Model S's. And particularly, they were being slowed down with an over-the-air software update. They suddenly found that they couldn't charge as quickly on their battery packs and also reducing the range of their affected vehicles as well. Now, Tesla has agreed to pay $1.5 million to owners, but there was a lot of them that brought this class action lawsuit. So each owner gets $625. Great. Not really a drop in the ocean, is it, for a company like Tesla? But I guess for some people it's a moral victory, satisfying, well, an illegal victory in many ways, because they've settled rather than having to take that any further. To those affected owners, according to Tesla, they had their car's range restored. March 2020, I think that was. All right, coming up, a big Tesla fan, Sandy Munro, the man that tears down cars and does YouTube videos about them, has had a look at the Ford F-150 Lightning, and I'll tell you how Australia could be leading in the world of EVs. Not in making cars, but somewhere else, I'll tell you soon. Keep listening. Now we'll talk about Sandy Munro being impressed by the Ford F-150 Lightning. That is the all-electric version of the legendary F-150. He got invited, much like my friend Tom Malogny, who went a couple of weeks ago. And you can't drive the cars yet, but somebody from Ford drives you round and gives you a lot of access, actually. Like, Tom was allowed to take photos of the infotainment screen and the center console, and they said, well, hey, look, you know, it's not finished, but take your photos. So I think Sandy Munro got a invite recently. He says the vehicle has tons of great usable features, starting with a massive front trunk. He was really impressed with that. He was also really impressed with the drain holes, being like, I wish Tesla would put drain holes in the front trunk. Well, you know, whatever turns you on, I guess. I guess if you are carrying something around in that front... Look, the front trunk is so huge on the F-150. The whole front of the car, including the grille, lifts up. And that means that the lighting can be inside the bonnet, you know, inside the hood. And it looks really impressive. Another element that he checked out was the undercarriage. He's no spring chicken anymore, but that doesn't stop him getting down on his back and sliding underneath the Ford F-150 Lightning like he was an excited kid to see what Ford engineers had done. He really enjoys his job, doesn't he, Sandy Munro? And whilst he has been, you know, in the past harsh on Tesla, then admitted to being very pro-Tesla and was a Tesla stockholder for a long time and boasted about how much money he made off the stock, which I know left a bad taste in some people's mouths, because overnight he became this huge, you know, Tesla fan when he got a new version. He, you know, he hated the Model 3 to begin, and then all of a sudden he was this huge kind of part of that Tesla fanboy community, and then a year later admitted, well, you know, I'd bought stock and made a lot of money out of it, but no suggestion he did anything wrong. But also a fan of some other EVs, not others, but he seems to be a fan of the Ford F-150. He liked the isolated battery pack, appears to be unique according to the video. And also, there's a suggestion that that 300 miles, that's what, 483 kilometres, that 300 miles of range is still conservative. Also, in the news today, Australia is leading the way, could be leading the way, with electric vehicles, but not making cars, not buying cars, but mining what we need to make batteries. The miner BHP, Aussie's largest miner, talked about an inflection point recently in the rapidly approaching EV revolution. As Tesla sold more than 500,000 EVs and sales in Europe doubled, they're a mining giant, and BHP, whose main commodities are iron ore, copper and coal, wants to expand its exposure to the minerals that will be increasingly required to power electric vehicles, nickel, copper, for instance, in lithium-ion batteries. According to the Sydney Morning Herald, their nickel division sells 85% of their volumes now to the EV industry. And Robin Denham, who is Tesla's Aussie-born chairwoman, in June said that Tesla is on track to spend more than $1 billion a year on Australian mined lithium, nickel and other metals needed to make batteries and vehicles, but warned the country was missing out on a far more valuable role in the global supply chain. The opportunity there for Australia to become a leading player in EVs, even if it's not buying them or even incentivizing them or even, you know, kind of making them, you know, with a gigafactory on home soil or anything like that, but actually going way back in the supply chain at the very core with minerals. That's the opportunity, and Australia could be a leader in that. We'll wait and see what happens. Next, in Kuwait, talking of countries that aren't necessarily very forward with EVs yet, Kuwait, there's a name associated much more with oil than anything else. They want to build the Middle East's first city to serve EV manufacturers, they said in a statement yesterday. The statement doesn't make clear where the project will be. It's called EV City. According to Reuters' report, they say that electric car makers don't use local distributors or dealers in the area because they sell their vehicles direct to consumers. But it's more common for the port area, the ports themselves, to provide infrastructure to those manufacturers. Well, the Public Investment Fund, the sovereign wealth fund of neighbouring Saudi Arabia, has made a huge gain on their tests, their Lucid investments. More than $1 billion was invested in Lucid back in 2018. 3 years later, they've gone public and made a big, big fortune for them. Next, it's the school holidays here and 6 weeks off in many places. I know that the kids are off school. Maybe you're going on a holiday. Maybe you're going to a theme park or two. I thought I'd have a look around and see what's going on with places like theme parks. Say you're going to somewhere like Universal in Orlando. Well, I could find out that there are charging stations for EVs in the main parking area at Universal Studios Florida, Universal's Islands of Adventure, Volcano Bay and City Walk. However, there are 4 stations in total, and 2 of those are for Teslas. They're destination chargers as well. They're located in valet parking, so you've got to spend your money to do valet. That seems like not enough, right, for Universal, which is huge, right? In addition to the 4 stations, there are electric vehicle charging stations in each of the hotels. I forget all the names of the hotels. Can't wait to go back to Florida and have some time in the theme parks and what have you. They've got to like Hard Rock. That's one of them, isn't it? But each hotel has 2 charging stations in the parking areas. You can find the locations of all of them on places like PlugShare. But again, it just doesn't seem, you know, I would think that somewhere like Universal Orlando, they'd be like, okay, so we've got like, you know, 20 Tesla superchargers and 20 high-powered chargers. But no, it all seems to be destination stuff and not many of them. If you do go to somewhere like that and charge, let me know your experience and what kind of behavior you needed. Like, I suppose you don't need your car too much overnight. You could just leave it plugged in, but that's if it's not blocked. I mean, that's a lot of cars there, right? So let me know if you've had any experience of that. Next, we'll talk about Renault and the Renault Master E-Tech. That's a panel van. It's been chosen by Europe's distributor of workplace products and services as they go all electric. Lyreco have 25... have a presence in 25 countries in Europe and Asia. They've just bought 17 all-electric Renault Master E-panels just to get used to it. I think, obviously, their fleets are going to go pure electric at some point, but they're going to put them in the Greenford, Tottenham and Dartford depots. They're London-based vans. Don't do many miles. That's why they can get this van. They carry on average 40 kilograms per order for their customers. They're going to charge overnight on 7 kilowatt charge points that they've been putting into their depots with about 4 or 5 hours to get to 80% in this van. And that's because, yes, you've guessed it, it's a tiddler. 33 kilowatt hour battery in this big van, 75 miles of range. But do you know what? Use case, use case, use case. I'm always banging on about it, so I shouldn't be critical of this, because if you don't need to do 75 miles a day in your inner city van and you're charging overnight every night, why take up any weight with a battery when you can use it for payload? So I guess it makes sense. Talking of Renault, don't hear too much about the Renault Zoe van, but they have made a fully homologated van. It fits all the van rules, but it is a little Renault Zoe ZE50 with the back seats taken out. If anyone's got one of those or you've seen one, let me know. Right, question of the week time with emobilitynorway.com. Brand new question for you then after setting it yesterday. What's the ideal location for a charging port on any particular EV? Well, you know, petrol filler caps are pretty much always in the same place, and gas forecourts all look the same. Isn't it time we encouraged the EV makers and charging suppliers to in some way standardize socket location and charger design, so they haven't got to worry about how long the cable's got to be? Because if the plug socket, the charging socket, was on the similar place of any new EV, wouldn't that make sense? Or not at all? Email me your thoughts. hello@evnewsdaily.com is my email address. Thank you so much to everyone who's a premium partner of the podcast and everyone who supports the show. Daily mention as always. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and of course emobilitynorway.com. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.